So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about how to ruin Christmas. Say that with me. How to ruin Christmas. How many want to know how not to ruin Christmas? Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to learn that too this morning.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Welcome, everyone, to this special Christmas Eve broadcast of Love Never Fails. Once again, the Christmas season is upon us, and to some, this time of year can become, honestly, an unhappy time. Well, today, Pastor Bill teaches an interesting message that may change your perspective of Christmas. I think you'll be encouraged. Now here's Pastor with today's message, How to Ruin Christmas.
I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 today. And I'm going to talk to you about something very important. And you know, after so many years, any pastor will tell you that it gets harder and harder to bring a fresh Christmas word to the congregation. You understand? Say yes. Just say yes. Thank you. And you know, and the reason is because it's so familiar to us. But I don't ever want the Word of God to be familiar. I want it to be fresh. Every day, living manna that nourishes me and nourishes you. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about how to ruin Christmas. Say that with me. How to ruin Christmas. How many want to know how not to ruin Christmas? Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to learn that too this morning, but very important. You know, the problem that we have is that the world that we live in, this perverted land that we live in, it has so, over the centuries, perverted the true meaning of Christmas. You know that, and so do I. Amen? Now, I want to preface everything by saying that I'm not here to beat up anyone this morning. If you've decorated your house from top to bottom and you've got 15 jillion gingerbread cookies cooking, it's okay. And, you know, if you have I know people have Christmas trees in every room, okay? They need counseling, but it's okay with me. So, but I'm not here. This is not about trying to say, why did you put up that pagan Christmas tree in your house, okay? That's not what it's about. If you want to see a pagan Christmas tree, go to the main lobby, you know? But this morning, this perversion, have you noticed how the devil is so subtle and he is so smooth, yes, and how he has perverted or counterfeited two of our most celebrated seasons in the church, Easter and Christmas? And you see what he's doing? I mean, what's more cuddly than a little bitty bunny rabbit? You know what I'm saying? And there was a little Easter egg hunts and all the, you know what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm getting at. Okay, so this morning we're going to talk about that. And not only that, I hope your heart stays open because, you know, the way I got the title for this sermon, believe it or not, is I was reading an article, I believe it was in the Washington Post, and it was entitled this, Why Christmas 2021 is Already Ruined. And I said, it is? I did not know that. So I was curious, what would any good pastor do? You would go and you'd read the article I did, and here, let me just give you a few of the things. Why Christmas, they say, is already ruined. Number one, it says supply chain problems are ruining Christmas, meaning toys and gifts and iPhones and iPads and insane things. You know what I'm saying? And so, as I read that, I went, oh my gosh, I didn't know that Christmas came from a department store. I didn't know that. I'm learning. You understand? Yeah, and not only that, here's the next one. Vaccine mandates, they said, are ruining Christmas. Well, I can't fly home. You know, I have to be vaccinated. Well, I didn't know that having or not having Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, you know, I didn't know that ruined Christmas. Did you? Well, no, will you have it or not? No. And here's the third one. I can't go through all of them because we'd be here forever and we'd really get ruined. Climate change is ruining Christmas. Here it comes. Christmas tree manufacturer warns of a supply shortage. I didn't know that a Christmas tree could ruin Christmas. Are you following me? Now, listen, the people who wrote those articles, Washington Post is not, you know, I think it was the Post. It could have been, it doesn't matter, does it? But the fact of the matter is, they were very, very sincere. And so I thought to myself, well, I guess Christmas 2021 is, I guess it's really ruined, you know? And then I thought to myself, well, you know what? Maybe I should ruin all of your Christmases too. So the way I'm going to do that is, I don't want to shock you this morning, but I want to tell you the truth about Santa. He ain't coming to town, all right? No, that's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen at all, loved one. Listen, now, with all kidding aside, and that was a serious article, by the way, but with all kidding aside, listen, the world's holiday has nothing to do with the most important event in the history of mankind, and that is the birth of our Savior when God became man. Amen? That's why we celebrate. And that's what it's all about. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Let me read it this way. The Word is Jesus. Amen? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Amen? John 1:14, and Jesus, the Word, became flesh. Man, and he dwelt, he tabernacled, he set his tent among us. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin, he's quoting now from Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin birth. He says, and the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I don't know why anyone celebrates Christmas, but I'm going to tell you what, I celebrate Christmas because my Savior was born. And not only that, he is with me and will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And one day I am going home and I'm going to be with him forever and ever. Amen. So with all that being said, turn in your Bible now and let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Let me read to you. Luke, turn there with me. Let's look at the Bible together. Let me read. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It was a night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not. Oh, so that's the NIV version. Let's go to the real Bible here. Now, you know I'm teasing a lot today, okay? Okay, so don't send me an email. Don't ruin my Christmas. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, though that's the one who killed the babies, remember, or had them killed. And there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. In other words, that was their lifestyle. And how was it? Well, they walked in the commandments of God, the ordinances of God, and it says of the Lord, and they were blameless, meaning whenever they did blow it or get into sin, like we all do sometimes, unfortunately, the ordinance there means they offered a sacrifice unto God. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth lived in one of the darkest periods of Judean history. And that was because from the time of Malachi to the book of the Gospel of Matthew, if you will, there were 400 years of silence. There was not one prophetic word that we have recorded that God spoke unto man. Amen? They were waiting, and like we are waiting for the Lord to come and take us out of here too. So with all that being said, in that dark time, you know, Rome, of course, ruled Judea. Jerusalem, and of course, wicked King Herod was there as a puppet king. But here's what you want to see this morning. Zacharias and Elizabeth, as we know these stories so well, they loved the Lord. They were faithful to the Lord and obedient to the Lord, but, the next verse, 7, but they had no child, and look at the reason, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So, Elizabeth was unable to have a baby, and that was considered or looked upon in her culture in that day as a woman who was cursed by God. And so there they are. It says they were not just old. I love the Bible. It's very clear. How old were they? Well, they were well advanced in years. Now, that may be some of you this morning, okay? You may be well advanced in years. And here's what happens. When you are well advanced in years, like me, I'm not going to say it about Mario, a brand new name. God just, that's a prophetic word. Now I forgot. I'm in the season. I'm in the spirit, brother. Listen. Now listen, they were well advanced in years. And here's what happens when you become well advanced in years. You sometimes, I've already served the Lord. I've worked and served all my life. And I don't guess anything else is going to happen. That's a terrible place to be. Don't ever let age dictate what God is going to do in your life. Don't ever do that. He can work with the babies. He can work with teenagers. He can work with you. If you don't have any teeth and you can barely hear, do you understand? He can still do something through you as long as you're willing and obedient. You will eat the good of the land. Amen. So I look at that and here they are. They're not expecting anything to happen. They didn't know that God had a great plan for their life. And you know what? You don't either. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in 2022. I pray that you're ready for that, because I put down in my notes, I said this, is the church spiritually ready to face 2022? I pray that you are. Verse 8, and so it was while Zacharias was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell. Now, meaning the priest in that day, there were so many, they would choose them by lot to serve in the temple, okay? Only for a season, not for every day, but just a season. And it says, and he was chosen, look what he was chosen to do. His job was going to be to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people, they were praying outside at the hour of incense. So they're outside praying. They're waiting for him to come out and give him the priestly blessing. And remember the incense, the altar of incense, it happened twice daily, 9 a.m., 3 p.m. And incense, remember, is that the altar of incense stood in the holy place. And it was, and right in front, or right here would be the temple, or the curtain, that is. And that behind the curtain would be the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God. Amen? Amen? Now, that was forbidden to go into only one time a year, and that had to be by the high priest. So there in front was the altar of incense. Over to the right would be the golden candelabra thing and all of that, the menorah. And he would take the incense and pour it on the coal, those hot coals, and it would rise in front of the Ark of the Covenant, which was behind the veil. Remember that incense represents the prayers of the people. And it was rising up to the Lord. It had a very sweet aroma to it. Now listen, this was, for any priest in that day, one of the greatest, or it was the epitome of one's life, to do what he was doing. I mean, that was the greatest moment in his life. And all of a sudden, there is a sweet aroma. There's the smoke rising up unto the Lord. Something happened. Look at the verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord, that's Gabriel, look what he did. He appeared to Zacharias standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Hello? Fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Now, what was he praying for? Yeah, good. Well, you guys are so well taught. Man, he was praying for a child. And your wife, Elizabeth, who is barren, remember, it says, will bear you a what? A son, not a girl. Nothing wrong with girls, but a son. And you shall call his name God is gracious. Praise the Lord. Yes, God is gracious. That's what John means. Amen. Now, listen to me. Last night, yesterday, as I prepared this message, very important one I'm about to tell you. I finished up, 4 o'clock or whatever it was yesterday, and I was getting ready to leave. And for some reason, as I had just put in I had all the scriptures that I had to send to the media people and all that, my computer just went blank. And I went, hello. You know, I mean, you know what I mean. So, and I finally, I had to restart it, but it brought up my documents, you know, my sermon. And it said, do you want to save this? And I said, hello. and I saved it. And I didn't think anything about it. And so this morning, I got up like I always do around 4 o'clock to have my prayer time and to just go over and say, Lord, anything you want to change? And everything that I did was not there. So I went to work. And when I was trying to, you know, remember the things that I felt like the Lord was giving me yesterday about these passages, when I came to this one area about what the angel said, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. It's something that about this, what I'm about to say, he did not do yesterday. And as I wrote down, and this is what I said, the angel's first word was, do not be afraid. The second word from the angel is, your prayer is heard. I felt in my heart, the Lord in my heart, this is a specific word for someone this morning, because you are afraid. And that fear has torment. God says in his word, don't be afraid. And then he tells you something. Your prayer that you have been praying, it has been heard. And the Bible says, and we know if he hears our prayers, when we pray the will of God, we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. Amen. Let that word be to whomever it belongs in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, prayer is the work, and our prayers, they stay in heaven, loved one. They're not dead. They're alive right now. I've had prayers 5 years in the making, and nothing happens. And then God unexpectedly does something. You see, that's what happened in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They weren't expecting one thing, but God was. Amen? Look what happened. He talks about this son called John that's going to be born. I mean, God even named him for them. Hadn't he come up with a name? He says, and you, talking to Zacharias, you're going to have joy and you're going to have gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Why? Look at it. For he will be great in the sight of men. No, God. And he'll neither drink wine nor strong drink. In other words, he's going to take the vow of a Nazarite, okay? And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. I'm going to tell you something. Do you think Zacharias got that? Do you think he understood that? He was looking at this angel like, hello, what do you mean? Okay. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God, and he will go before, meaning before the Lord Jesus. He's going to be the forerunner. He says, and look at how he's going to go, the power in the spirit and power of Elijah. He didn't say he was Elijah. He said in the spirit and power of Elijah, and the purpose to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Man, he was the forerunner. Don't you wish, Mom, Dad, that an angel of God would appear at your house and you're 9 months pregnant? Or even before you are, and say, you're going to have a girl, or you're going to have a boy, and this is what he's going to be. Lay it all out. Would that be pretty cool? Oh, man. That would erase all the worry, wouldn't it? Yeah. Man, you know, God sends teenagers to punish us. I know that's what he does. Yeah. Oh, listen. So it was a supernatural birth because he was the forerunner of Christ. He fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah, verse 40, actually verses 41 through 3, but I'll just read verse 3. It says, he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Remember what forerunners did? A forerunner would go before the king. And whatever that journey was, point A to point B, he would go and make sure that the highway, the byway, the roadway was clear of every obstacle, so nothing would hinder his trip. Well, John the Baptist wasn't clearing a highway, was he? He was doing this. He was clearing out the junk in people's hearts. He was preparing the people's hearts to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Yes. What a glorious thing. Do you know that no man in Scripture, no one in Scripture received such praise by Jesus than John the Baptist. Matthew 11:11, let me read it to you. He says here, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, for he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Can you believe that? In that scripture that I just read from Matthew, up to that point, at that time, there had not arisen a greater man than John the Baptist. Not Moses, not Solomon, not David. Think about that. Man, John the Baptist, born to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ, born to baptize the Lord. Can you imagine that? I mean, to baptize the Lord. See, he's the one that John cried out. He says, I saw the spirit of like a dove descending upon him. Man, think about what God has done for that. He's great in the sight of the Lord. He didn't say he was going to be a great dresser. He didn't say he was going to have a great diet. I mean, you know, his dress was kind of wild, you know. You remember Sonny and Cher back then? That you don't remember. He had on that, what is that, you know, that whatever it was, that camel hair and, you know, leather belt and I got you, babe. You remember that? And then his diet, you know, locust and honey. Think about that. Man, his head ended up on a platter, you know, remember? But here's the deal. Zacharias is told all these incredible things. And now Zacharias, his heart is exploding with praise and with joy. He is overflowing with faith. Look at the next verse, 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? Is that faith? No. He says, how do I know this? Look, he says, for I am a what? I'm an old man. And he says, and look at my wife. I love that one. Look at my wife. She's over the hill, man. And she is well advanced in years. And he says, how in the world am I going to know this? Now, I want to give you four translations from verse 18. Philip's translation, great translation. He says, how can I know this is true? The Berkeley translation. In what way can I be assured of this? The Message. Do you expect me to believe this? And then the Quinn translation. If you want to ruin Christmas, make Christmas about you. Do you understand? Listen, that's true. Make it about you. Zacharias made it about him. He heard 135 words from an angel sent from heaven by God and given to Zacharias about things that are yet future. And listen, he says, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. I mean, look at my body. Look at me. I mean, you know, my wife, I think she's older than I am. Here's the problem. Zacharias made it all about him so much that he questioned God's ability to fulfill his word. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen, I know you're not going to do this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you want to ruin Christmas 2021, make it about you and not about what God has said about you or done for you. Amen? More that will ruin it. And I'm going to say something to you. And now listen carefully. Because this is almost a picture of the church today. Did Zacharias love God? Yes. Was he blameless? Yes. Did he keep the commandments? Yes. Yes. Did he work for the Lord? Did he serve the Lord? Of course he would have done anything for the Lord. So what was his problem? His problem is the same problem that so many in Christendom have today. And you know what that is? And we're guilty of it, all of us. We allow something so beautiful and so precious and so wonderful to become so familiar. We've lost the awe of the star leading the wise men. You know what? We've lost the awe of the babe in a manger. You know what I'm saying? We've lost the awe of the virgin birth. Do you understand me?
Pastor Bill concludes this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we do hope you can tune in again. We want to take a moment to wish you a very Merry Christmas. May your homes and hearts be filled with the peace of God as you celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace, his son, Jesus Christ. This is Brian Whitaker for Pastor Bill. Merry, Merry Christmas, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.